Hello, everyone. Welcome into another episode of Kentucky Daily, a daily podcast covering your University of Kentucky Wildcats. I'm Sean Smith. He's Derek Terry. We're officially Tim Couch away from kickoff. Derek.
Trying to think of other number twos on the spot, and I couldn't. So, yeah, you're right. Tim Couch, 2 days away, and what better way to keep it going on the football side of things and bringing on a guest to talk a little UK football, SEC, hell, really general football, bringing in an LA guy, Ryan Leaf. Sean, this is the first time, right? We were trying to think. I don't think we've ever had a quarterback on here.
No, the only quarterback was quarterback Terry Wilson last year, but someone that could, you know, an analyst wise, we've got the guys that have been in the trenches and everything like that, the wide receivers and Chris Doering, but we've never had a quarterback. So we're excited to have Ryan join the podcast. Ryan is a guy with his West Coast ties, Derek, that is familiar with Liam Cohen and his offense, and actually had a conversation with Liam, which he's going to share a little bit on this episode.
Yeah, I thought that was a great angle. It's something I certainly didn't realize or put two and two together that they might have been familiar with each other, but they certainly are. And, you know, he provides that perspective on Cohen. He talked about what he thought Kentucky needed to do to kind of stay in the hunt in the SEC East this year. Of course, he is super high on UK. Picked him to win 10 games, right? So, also shared his perspective, obviously, from being a quarterback on some of the challenges Will Levis is going to face here in this first game as he prepares as a, you know, truly as a first-time starter. Someone who, like we said on the pod, has started a couple of games in his career at Penn State, but never was truly, you know, the guy like he is this year. So, I was really curious to get his thoughts on that. And anything else stand out to you about what fans are about to listen to?
Yeah, he picks Kentucky to beat Florida.
Yeah,
I'm sure that's one that's going to stand out when you look at it, and they're 10-2. He obviously has them beating Florida or LSU, because I think Georgia's for sure one of the two losses. So he's high on Kentucky. He's very high on Texas A&M, actually has them going undefeated. He explains his reasoning for that, and he's also high on Ole Miss as well, and had Alabama with two losses, and then LSU with an 8-4 team there in his West ranking. So we're going to dive into that. We're going to dive into some Kentucky football talk, like you said, about Will Levis, who I'm just now seeing that it looks like he is going to be making phone calls today on behalf of UK Athletics for ticket. Is there a guy, Derek, that he's so intriguing. I talked to Chris Doering about this, that there's always those intriguing guys in college football that you have no clue really what to expect. And you don't really know until fans are going to get their first look at the guy, because there was no spring game. He wasn't here. Fan day was what it was. You didn't get a great look, but how intriguing is Will Levis? And just, he's a guy that when you read his social media, he has a ton of confidence.
Yeah, I think, I went and listened. I don't know how many people listened to it or read about Terry Bowden's presser yesterday. He did say something interesting, Sean. I don't know if you saw it, because I know we didn't talk about it, but he basically said that he was a little concerned. Well, he more or less said they couldn't stop the run if Kentucky just decided to run. So he was hoping they would draw back and throw it some more, maybe give them a better opportunity, which kind of made me think, you know, how much will we see this Saturday? Yeah. From Kentucky's offense in the throwing game. And I still do think they're going to drop back and throw it a little bit. And, you know, I don't blame Bowden for saying that, because you would think, ideally, if you feel like you can't stop the run, at least throwing the ball might lead to some more, you know, incompletions, perhaps interceptions, clock stop, and all those things that go into the passing game. Whereas if a team's just running the ball down your throat, there's really nothing you can do about it, and it's probably one of the more hopeless feelings, I would say, in football. Whenever you can't stop a team that just decides to line up and run it against you. But I do think this will be an opportunity. Like, we'll talk more tomorrow, I guess, on like what we expect from the ULM game. But I do think you're going to get some moments in that game where you really say wow, and you're really going to be able to dream on his potential. I don't think he's going to play a perfect game by any means. I think he's going to have some moments where it's clear that he needs to work on some things, but you would expect that in any first-time start, right?
Yeah, and I look at it two ways here, and then we'll move into this interview. Let's say that they come out and just run the ball, then Missouri has nothing on tape when it comes to their offense. But then they come out, let's say they take just a few shots here and there, then Missouri has to be aware of that, with Kentucky still not showing everything they want to do. This the perfect thing to me would be Kentucky just to come out and just destroy ULM early, put it away, play some of those younger guys, and then go into Missouri with still their entire game plan intact and offense without really showing too much.
I think it's a good point. That's definitely a good point. And I'll talk about it tomorrow.
Yeah.
We've mentioned it a little bit anyway, but like there is a fine line in this game, I think. And yeah, truthfully, you probably don't have to do a whole lot to beat ULM. But at the same time, I think you want to get enough work done to feel good.
Yep.
Going into that Missouri game.
Yep. That's a fair point. Exactly. I agree with that. Cause there is a line. You don't want to do too much. And you don't want to do too little.
Yeah. So, you need the guys to be comfortable for a really, really important week too, for sure.
And we're not going to do too much because we're not going to sit here and ramble too much because we're going to save that because you came here to hear from our guest, Ron Leaf, who joins us now on Kentucky Daily. Ron, thanks for joining us.
You bet. Thanks for having me, fellas.
Ron, we had a little bit of college football a week ago, but the big stuff starts this week. Everybody playing, all the major conferences. How excited are you to get this thing started this weekend?
Well, it's for whatever reason, you know, being away from college football a year ago because of COVID, not being on campuses or in stadiums, you know, I got to experience that last week. I called the UCLA Hawaii game at the Rose Bowl, which was wonderful venue to be at. It feels good. It feels good to be back. I'm going to be at TCU this weekend for their game. I hope we're able to do the right things in stadiums as fans and the new variant doesn't bring this opportunity for everybody to be a part of college football crashing down.
Ryan, as a former quarterback yourself, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about Will Levis, obviously being you know, for all intents and purposes, a first-time starter. He started a couple of games in his career at Penn State, but he knew a few weeks ago that he was going to start the season for Kentucky. From a quarterback perspective, what are some challenges, I guess, that a first-time quarterback will face when they take the field with and then in his case, too, with a new team?
Well, I expect it's just going to be, understanding your role in a new team, right? I mean, when you're a quarterback, you usually have to be a leader of men. But when you just come in, sometimes that's difficult because you have to build and build and build. The fact that Will was able to win the starting job, I think, you know, says a lot because no matter what, in the locker room, everybody knows who wins the competition in the fall. Even though coaches talk about how tight it was down the stretch, how difficult it was to make the choice, the guys in that locker room can see in practice and see what goes on and know what happened in that moment. And when that person is announced, they know that's the right fit. Either they or they don't, and it can backfire in a locker room if it's not the guy that everybody saw in camp truly win it.
Ron, Mark Stoops is entering year 9 at Kentucky. He's had a lot of success, but the passing aspect to that offense has been missing for a long time. Now enter Liam Cohen. How familiar are you with Liam Cohen, and what do you think about that move this offseason?
I'm really familiar with Liam. Actually, got a great opportunity because I live in Los Angeles to speak with him over the last couple years. Really was excited when he was offered this opportunity by Mark Stoops. I think it takes them to a different level because if they can do some things offensively differently, I think it closes the gap at the top of the East. And as you saw in my predictions this year, I really think the schedule lines up for this team to have a heck of a season if they're able to get past Missouri in week 2.
Ryan, whenever you do break down the SEC East and just your overall, I guess, view of kind of where Kentucky stacks up, I guess, what are some of the key things you think Kentucky will have to do this year to truly, I guess, be a contender by the end of the season?
Well, they can't lose their identity in what Mark Stoops loves to do, and that's play great defense. And sometimes when you start doing some different things on offense where you're more up-tempo and you're kind of going faster and things like that, defense tends to fall off a little bit because you just fall into this rhythm of back and forth and back and forth. That has to stay the same for this Kentucky team. They have to have the identity wrapped around their defense, but now be more open with what they do on the offensive side of football because they got to score with people. They have to score with people to be able to win these games. The game against Ole Miss last year was an example of their ability to score with people but not shut anybody down. That's big. That's big. And they got to beat the teams that they're supposed to beat. They can't have a 3-point game against Vanderbilt. You know, they have to go out and play significantly better against teams they're supposed to beat, and then upset some of the ones on their schedule, like Florida, Missouri. Those are the two games that I feel like they're going to upset those two teams at home this year on their way to a 10-2 record.
Yeah, you mentioned 10-2. If Mark Stoops does that again, Ryan, you know, there's going to be some a lot of eyes on Mark Stoops for possibly other jobs. How do you view him in his coaching career? He's built Kentucky from a program that was at the bottom of the SEC to, you've got him finishing second in the East. How do you view him moving forward? You think there are some big time schools that may take a look at him?
Well, if he goes 10-2 and puts themselves in position, yeah, there's going to be other teams that look at him. But I don't know. I mean, you have to understand when you're the head coach there what you need. Like, the expectations aren't overly high at Kentucky, right? I mean, he may be setting some different kind of expectations with being, you know, almost 500 in his career there in the 8 years at Kentucky. And then it's always a matter of ego and whether you want to take the next step and the next challenge. You know, Mike Leach is in this conference. He has had incredible success at Texas Tech. And then at Washington State, SEC is a different animal, right? And maybe he just wanted that challenge to see if he could stack up with his air raid offense and do something differently. Maybe Mark Stoops wants to try something different down the line, but he's got to prove it. And this year is the opportunity. I like him as a fit in Kentucky. I think sometimes you just find the right place, the right fit where you belong. And I feel like he's found that there in Lexington. But you know, you never knew when people come along and throw a ton of money at you. What's the best word I'm looking for? So it's the coolest thing to have is somebody to come throw a bunch of money at you to do what you love to do, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Ryan, with the college season getting cranked up, you know, obviously tonight there's several games, but just for this weekend in general, maybe give me two or three of the top games that you're really looking forward to checking out.
Well, I cover the Pac-12 a ton, so I'm really looking forward to a couple non-conference games there. One in particular is the LSU-UCLA game, right? LSU goes all the way out to the West Coast. They have been displaced because of Hurricane Ida and what that's going to mean, not only to the LSU Tiger group because of the down season they have, but for this UCLA team, because a lot of people are expecting some big things. Now, they dominated a Hawaii team last week, but that's Hawaii. This is a different animal. If they're able to perform well and possibly upset the defending national champions from 2 years ago, yeah, then you got to really, really pay attention to it. The other thing, of course, is Clemson, Georgia. It just, you get a national semifinal in week one. How cool is that? And I'm really excited about that game. I'm hearing that Clemson's going to be down a few defensive starters, which is a problem, but as all of us know, when Clemson loses a starter somewhere, the guy that steps in is usually a five-star guy from somewhere, and he does just as well when they play against each other. So I think this is going to be a heck of a game to start the season.
Ryan, I'm sure a lot of fans, when they looked at your preseason SEC order of finish, they saw Kentucky at 10-2, but I'm sure they also saw Texas A&M 12-0 and Ole Miss 10-2 and Alabama 10-2. Just what do you like about that Texas A&M team that you have them going undefeated?
Jimbo Fisher in year four, right, at Florida State, wins the national championship. He's put together a roster. They are young. He's got a dynamic quarterback in Haynes King. I really think he could be the difference maker, something that Kellen Mond maybe just didn't quite have in this offense. They can run the ball. They are unbelievably good on defense. And they get Alabama at home. Not that that's a whole overreaching factor. I just don't know who Alabama, what their identity is. And they may find it pretty quick, but I think it's going to take a little time. Turnover on the coaching staff, big turnover, especially on the offensive side of the football. They're going to be great, don't get me wrong, but I was just looking for something that wasn't necessarily chalk. I just didn't want to write down the same thing every year. And I may be completely off base, and Alabama fans certainly let me know that I'm completely off base. with my predictions, sometimes quite personally, I might add. But I will say that I'm excited, and I'm excited for Ole Miss. I think they get Alabama early when I don't believe they necessarily know what their identity is, similar to what Johnny Manziel did a few years back when he went into Tuscaloosa Alabama is probably the best SEC team by the end of the year. But early on, if you can catch them at the right time, I think Ole Miss does that. Matt Corral is probably the best quarterback in the conference. I love what the SEC West has to offer, and I can't wait to watch those games play out this year.
And wrapping up here, I'll put you on the spot. You don't have to give me your college football playoff, but who do you think wins the national championship?
Oh, you know, I have a hard time stepping away. From Clemson. You know, that they just year in, year out, you know, for the last 2 years, they had what I considered was maybe the best quarterback in college football, and they still couldn't get it done. Right. I mean, they needed him as a freshman with the defense that they had. So let's see where they are right now. See what DJ is able to do. But I think Oklahoma's in the mix this year. I think Clemson's in the mix. If A&M does go 12-0, I definitely think they're in the mix. And then Ohio State and the University of Washington. Those are the five teams that I'm kind of, you know, toying around with in terms of what the college football playoff will be. And I still wouldn't be surprised if there was a 10-2 Alabama team that's playing really well down the stretch that the committee doesn't look at and go, ah, we can't leave them out. We can't leave them out. So we'll see. We'll see.
He's Ryan Leaf. You can follow him on Twitter @RyanDLeaf. Ryan, thank you so much for joining Kentucky Daily.
You bet. Go Wildcats.